Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast number 23 on November 19th, 2012. We got a bunch of letters and comments and questions that we're going to go through tonight. I think you're going to enjoy it. The first one, we have been following this man's journey off and on for a while now, and I received a short note from him that I wanted to share with you all. And, you know, as usual, I don't identify these letters. So suffice to say, you've heard all about his story and how he revealed his desire to do pegging to his wife. So I wanted to share it mostly because in case some of you men are experimenting with anal stimulation solo, he recently started exploring the world of pegging with his wife, and so here's his letter about the solo stuff. I figured you should be the person I tell, as you are my personal pioneer of pegging. I had read that it is good to practice solo so you know how to make it happen. I was about ready to give up trying, but I was finally successful. It was awesome, and it meant my first double orgasm ever. I am very excited to give it a shot while actually pegging, as pegging has become probably the most fun thing in the whole entire world to me. Wow. Well, congratulations, sir. Double orgasms are awesome. There are men who try and try and try and never get there, so good for you. And I do really like the suggestion of practicing solo. I think that, as with women, it takes a while to sort of open up to that type of sensation, the G-spot stuff, just like the P-spot stuff, I think is very similar. So I think it's smart to practice solo and sort of experiment with what feels good. And that way you actually know more about how it feels when you do that with your wife. So that's awesome. Here's another letter from a reader. This is a longer one. It's great. It was your site that finally explained to me why I should just bend over and enjoy it. I love that beginning. Health issues at 60 caused me to seek alternative means to penetrate my lady. I wish for her to not be absent of the sensation of penetration, although she has convinced me that penetration on her is not always necessary with a penis. When seeking a mechanical means to satisfy her, I stumbled upon strap-ons for conventional role reversal. After looking into Pegging Paradise, she and I decided to give it a try. Wow, has our sex life ever been stimulated? I never knew how erotic anal play would be for me. I also enjoy anal play with her when she too is aroused. The stigma is one thing men absolutely must get over at first. If you enjoy anal stimulation by your female partner, it does not make you gay. And no, you are not finding some latent homosexuality feelings in yourself. That is the biggest problem with men not giving into the feelings that they are actually denying, not only themselves, but their lovers. From what I have researched and experienced firsthand, women are unbelievably turned on by this practice. My partner has actually had orgasms from the play, and that is just from the mental stimulation in conjunction with the thrusting she does. She has claimed to actually be so into it that she can actually feel what a man feels with her new cock. She has such a look of lust on her when she is slowly pushing her cock, as she calls it, into my ass deep, and then withdraws it slowly until it's almost all the way back out again, and then repeat this for at least 15 or 20 minutes. Then she really gets into it and takes full control and fucks my ass like she wants a man to do her vagina, with a full thrust and pounding of my ass to give me everything she has got to give. What a time we have. Sometimes I'm her bend-over boyfriend, and sometimes I'm her on-the-table bitch. She has taken me to a place that no other lover has ever taken me to, and as I told her, she can have my ass anytime or anywhere. She owns it now. It is not the only way we make love by any means, but it's turned out to be so much fun and pleasure, I have to limit her demands for this to once every 3 weeks. Communication is key to this practice, though, and of course keeping clean and prepped if possible before the play is also important. Not only was I, but also my lover, was very surprised how much we enjoy the play and how intense the orgasms were from the act. And I promise you, when a woman can make a man come without his cock even being touched, it's the kind of thing to keep him on his own front porch, if you know what I mean. Once again, Ruby, thanks for helping to clear up some questions I had in the beginning, and I frequently visit your site for new and lustful ways to expand this new form of such intimate lovemaking. My cherry has been taken, and I'm sticking with the excellent woman lover who took it for life. Thanks for sharing your story with us. I have to say one thing right off the bat. I love that quote. As a matter of fact, I put that quote on Facebook, and this is the part I'm talking about that just, I love the way you phrase this. I promise you, when a woman can make a man come without his cock even being touched, it's the kind of thing to keep him on his own front porch, if you know what I mean. That's eloquent in a very simple way. I love that. And I put it up in a nice red and black fancy print and put it up on my Facebook page. I really, really loved that quote very much, obviously. So the other thing that I so enjoyed and appreciated is that you are a man who doesn't freak out about strapping one on to please your wife. I commend you on that, sir. So few men are okay with that idea. I wish more men were. I mean, I realize your impetus was a health issue, but even without that health issue, this is my attitude anyway, what man couldn't occasionally benefit from being able to fuck his partner with a strap on? Whether it's a matter of lasting long enough for a marathon session, maybe she wants something more rigid to stimulate her G-spot, more girth, more length, or even, wait for it, less girth and less length, something smaller than what presents, and maybe how about something that vibrates? All these situations are possible. I mean, toys are toys, and to feel emasculated because your hard-on won't last forever is really unnecessary. I realize that many men are offended by the very suggestion, and I have been flamed on the forums occasionally for this, but I mean, I persist, because the more options you have to sexually please your partner, the better. For example, if I was fucking my partner with a strap-on and using a tanga sleeve on his cock, I wouldn't be offended that the tanga sleeve was a replacement for my vagina. As a matter of fact, that's a really good idea. I'm going to have to try that. That sounds totally hot. And I also don't freak out if my partner uses a fleshlight. I mean, it's just another way to find pleasure. It's not a replacement for my pussy. Fleshlights and tanga sleeves and all of those other types of toys get thrown off the bed after you're done with them, and people snuggle and share intimacy. It's a completely different thing. But getting back to your letter, though, I have just one question for you, sir. Why in the world are you limiting the frequency of pegging to once every 3 weeks? I'm really curious about that. I went back to check that I didn't misread it. You know, I thought maybe it says 3 times a week, not once every 3 weeks. And no, it says once every 3 weeks. So I'm curious. Why once every 3 weeks? You know, inquiring minds would like to know. I think 3 times a week sounds awesome, but maybe you have your reasons, and I'd love to hear them. Okay, here's another one. This is a letter from a beginner. Hi, I'm just starting to understand who I am, with pegging being central to me. However, I'm an extremely quiet, shy person when I first meet someone, and have little to no social grace. Do you have any advice for how I could go about meeting other people who have this interest? And you did sign it with a male name, so I know your gender. And I know that you're looking for women who enjoy pegging. Looking for women who enjoy pegging is not as easy as it sounds. Or maybe it doesn't sound easy, I don't know. But women who enjoy pegging really don't like to be approached for their strap-on. So looking for women who enjoy this just because they enjoy it is sometimes not received well by the women who do enjoy it, because it feels like, oh, you just want us for the strap-on pegging, and we, and as women, are secondary. That is how it can feel sometimes. I understand you're just trying to find someone with mutual interests, but there are websites where you can list your fetishes, like FetLife.com, But that particular one is meant more or designed more for community networking. It's not really organized very well for dating searches. You can find people who are into what you are into in your area, but it takes some work. It's not as easy to search. And the other thing about FetLife is that it includes every fetish or turn on you can think of, including a whole bunch of ones that you've never even imagined. All the BDSM stuff and then some. So unless you're into that stuff too, it can be, or, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is it can be a tad overwhelming for a guy whose only exploration outside of regular sex is pegging. Now, I have no idea if that's where you fall, sir, but I just wanted to kind of warn you about FetLife. That's what happened to me when I went there. It took me a while to take a deep breath and be okay with all the stuff that was there. There is also AFF, which is Adult Friend Finder. .com. But, you know, even if you filled out a profile there, because there are explicit sexual questions there about what you enjoy, and you paid your money to be there, the chances that women would be paging through the profiles to find a man who likes anal stimulation are pretty slim. And the last time I was on that website, you could not do a search on sexual preferences having to do with anal. It was much more generalized categories. Because basically the sad truth about dating sites is that the women can usually just sort of sit back and wait to be approached because the men have to do approaching that. And, you know, it's an inequality. It's not fair, but it's very real. And it's just the way it is. So as far as finding women who are interested in pegging, I've really written extensively on this before, but it all bears repeating because there are so many men out there who have discovered the joys that anal stimulation can bring. And they're looking to explore further by exploring pegging with a partner. So, first you look for a woman to peg you the same way you would look for a woman to date. You look for a woman who is sexually open-minded. And some of the clues on that might be what they say on their dating profile. Like, for example, on mine, it says, FYI, I am not sexually conservative. And that would be a first clue. If she mentions something about enjoying sex or being sexually open or wanting a sexually active relationship, that's the first clue. There are other ways to get some clues as to whether she is a woman who's open to sexual exploration, how she talks about sex, or even if she does, in terms of like what she enjoys or what didn't work with her past partners, things like that. I mean, is she comfortable with touch? And if you get to the point where you're intimate, does she enjoy sex? Is she sexually explorative in bed? And specifically especially important, does she enjoy anal stimulation herself? Now, let me mention here that there are plenty of women out there who enjoy pegging who don't like anal stimulation themselves. So that isn't a measure. That isn't a sure measure by any means. However, the women who do enjoy anal stimulation themselves, at least you know that you're beyond, you've gotten past the boundary or the fence, the gate that you stop at, which is sometimes that anal is gross and disgusting and exit only and blah, blah, blah. If she accepts anal, then you're through that gate. So that's another way to tell. And then at that point, you know, what I would suggest, I'll refer you to three articles from my blog that I wrote, and I'm going to post the links, of course. The first one is the one that's been up there for a long time, How to Convince Her to Try It. Because once you find someone to date, this is what you're going to want to do. And it's all about the basics of how to talk with your partner about pegging, the mistakes not to make in your approach, and the clues that she might be up for it. Because every situation's a little different, but there's a lot of information in this article that will absolutely be of help to you. Another, the next article I'm going to leave a link to, I link to this one all the time, just like the first one. It's called Vanilla to Pegger, One Man's Story. Now, this is a friend's story about how he methodically, with patience, not to mention premeditation, encourages women with no pegging experience to explore pegging with him. It's a really interesting read, and I think he does a fine job of it. So I'm going to put a link to that. And last but not least, I am going to put a link to the article, I Need a Woman to Peg Me. This one explains why there is not a cache of women waiting to take any man's ass that is offered up to them. There, this article is a bit of a rant, but it's still worth the read, and please take it with a grain of salt. There is great information about how women look at pegging and why most of us don't like to peg strangers. So, first you need a relationship, because there's a lot of intimacy involved in pegging. Now, if you, sir, are not looking for a relationship, and you're just looking to explore pegging and the experience of it, please consider going to a pro. I've said this before, and I'll keep saying it. Pros have expertise, they have emphasis on safe sex and cleanliness, and they love to have a nice, polite clients who are respectful and clean. So it's a win-win, both ways around, and for your first experience, it could be a great choice for you. And that is all I have to say about that. That is the eternal question, where can I find a woman who's into this? So good luck to you, sir. Here's another question from a reader. It's a dildo question. For some time, my wife and I have been exploring using dildos on each other while doing oral on each other, using Vixen Creations Mistress and Mustang models. Usually, I am using the Mustang on her vaginally and her using the Mistress on me. This has been a positive experience and we want to try pegging. We want this to be a positive experience with as little fumbling as possible. I would appreciate your help with two questions regarding dildos and position. My wife is shorter than I by about a foot, and although I'm sure we'll try many positions, if this works and we both like it, what is the easiest position to start with? She has never done anything like this before, so we want it to be one easy for her. Secondly, on a couple of occasions I have tried it, I really like the Mustang with proper care, since it seems to do a better job at massaging my P-spot. It does take care because of the larger girth and pronounced head. However, when we're doing each other, I usually use this on her while she is using the Mistress on me. Should we go for the gusto and use the Mustang, or better to stick with the Mistress for now? Okay, this ready to peg for the first time space that you guys are in is so exciting, especially because you've already done a fair amount of exploring with each other, and it's very exciting for me to hear about, partly because it reminds me of the look on a man's face the first time he is oh so gently penetrated, that oh my god vulnerability and that kind of naked openness and amazement at being penetrated is just about the sexiest expression I think I have ever seen. But I digress. Your first question about positions. You mentioned she's a foot shorter than you. Well, what's important here is not that she's a foot shorter, but what's also important is the length of your torsos and your legs. I mean, if all of your height is in your torso and she is rather short-waisted, then you're going to have a mismatch on leg length to the point where her doing it doggy style is not going to work. So it's really impossible for me to tell from that description how that all is going to come out in the wash, so to speak. However, in general, I recommend two positions for beginners. One would be cowboy, which is where she lays down flat on her back and you mount her facing her. This is high on the intimacy factor level because you can see each other. You can watch, she can watch you and your pleasure. Plus, your cock is accessible, so either you can stimulate it or she can. It's also good because it requires very little skill on her part in terms of being able to thrust and actually fuck you. That's not necessary because you can ride it. It's also good because you are controlling the depth, the speed, the angle, and you're doing what feels best to you. So it would actually be one that's quite easy for her. Another one, which I really like, is one that uses a chair. And I have finally given this position a name, thanks to one of my readers. I mentioned this position before, and I've used to call it the chair with no arms. And I thought, you know, that's rather awkward. I'd really like to have a nice, clean name for this position, as opposed to the chair with no arms. I mean, it's going to always require a bit of description anyway, but let's get a better name here. So, he wrote in and told me about this very very, you can tell it affected me. There, he told me this very naughty and wonderful story, exciting story, about a gentleman's club in Europe where they have chairs that have dildos affixed to them. And should you desire to sit on these chairs, there you go. And I so want to go there. I want to be a fly on the wall. I want to watch. I want to be there. That, I mean, and I'll probably write a story about that because that is just such a freaking turn on. I can't believe it. Anyway, he said they used to call these chairs the prickly chairman. Well, I decided just to shorten that up and call this position the chairman. She sits on the chair. You face her and straddle her. And you ride her dildo like that. Again, there is intimacy. You can see each other. Depending on the length of your torsos, you can kiss. She can stimulate your cock. It's a little harder for you to because you are going to be holding on is what you're going to be doing. It's pretty much all you can do is to hold on to the back of the chair. And please use a sturdy chair. Do not use something flimsy because you're going to be rocking that thing. So these two positions I recommend highly for beginners. Mostly because you're the one, you the man, are the one that's doing the fucking. And that's a good thing. That way she can watch how much pleasure it gives you, which is awesome. If there's any question about that, that will convince her. And it doesn't require the skill. And she can learn that over time as you try other positions. Okay, so your question about should we go for the gusto and use the Mustang or better to stick with the mistress for now? This is funny. If you're able to take the Mustang now without the harness, there's no reason with sufficient foreplay and with care that you shouldn't be able to enjoy it just as much with the harness. Now, if you want to see what it's like, start off with the mistress and then switch it out for the Mustang. But there's really no harm in starting out with the Mustang if that's what you're really craving. Because basically your ass is already used to that size of toy, you just need to go slower with it. And to get a little more descriptive here, for those who are wondering a little bit more about this, I did look up the measurements. And we're talking about two Vixen Creation dildos. The Mistress is 6 inches long by 1 1/4 inches in diameter. The Mustang is 6.5 inches long by 1 5/8 inches in diameter. So it's significantly larger. But, you know, hey, feel free to go for the gusto with the Mustang. If that's what you want, go for it, dude. Just, I mean, you sound smart enough to take it slow and to do it with care. So, yeah, whatever you want to do. Next, I have an interesting short comment. This man wrote in and said, I read your article, How to Convince Her to Try It. And it struck me that there's one safer option to try first. And I see this comment from women all the time. If a man says to his partner that he wants to try anal on her, a woman will very often respond by saying that she will only do this if he is willing to let her do him first. I like the way you think, sir, because that has always been my rule. Basically, you can fuck my ass if I can fuck yours with a toy the same size as your penis. It works really well, but I've never thought about approaching your partner. From a man's point of view, I never thought about the man approaching his partner for anal, sort of expecting her to come up with that rule. Because honestly, I don't think there are actually very many women who think that way. I think there are becoming more. I think there's becoming more because of my best efforts on various forums. I run into so many threads about, my boyfriend wants to try anal and I'm afraid it'll hurt. And I almost always go on, I almost always go on there and put out the idea that receiving anal is, without a doubt, the very best way to learn how to give good anal. So I suggest they tell their boyfriends that if they can fuck them, if the women can fuck their boyfriends with a strap on the same size as his cock, they'll go for it. And I suggest this partly because I love pegging, of course, and, you know, to get a little stir out of people, but also because I am quite certain that if she fucks him first, he will fuck her ass differently than he would have without that experience. You know, and then there's the threads where the guy is complaining that his girlfriend doesn't like anal, and I suggest he offer a trade, his ass for hers. And wow, do some of the guys get pissed off at that suggestion. I think it would really improve the overall quality of the anal sex guys are giving if they find out what it's like to be fucked themselves and find out For example, what it's like to feel rushed and not have enough foreplay. Find out what it's like to take a large cock in their ass. Find out what it's like to not have enough lube. See, there are so many possible learning experiences there. Far too many men think that fucking an ass is like fucking a vagina, and it's an idea reinforced visually by the porn industry. So, I can see how you who sent the comment in see it as safer, because the safer part is that you're not really exposing your love of it. And if you do get a response from her like that, wow, score, then you can totally go for it. And, you know, maybe it's one thing to try. Sure. So let's see here. The last thing I have for you all tonight is actually a rant. So bear with me. It includes a little profanity. Oh yeah, that's new. But I'm just warning you, it's a bit of a rant. I have been encountering threads talking about anal sex without lube. And I've talked about this before, and I'll keep talking about it. Anal sex without lube, only in the male giving anal sex to the female direction, mind you. And I have a lot to say about that. There are far too many men out there who think that anal sex can be just fine with a combination of spit, pre-cum, and whatever moisture is inside the ass from the mucous membranes. First, let's talk about that. Are there mucous membranes in the rectum? You bet there are. Does that mean the ass is self-lubricating like the vagina? No, no, and no. It's ridiculous to think that if a woman is really excited, her ass will be more wet or lubricated. That's simply not true. Now, a man and his pre-cum have that relationship that can indeed contribute to lubrication in the anus if you're having anal sex without a condom. But having anal sex without a condom is not only inadvisable for non-fluid bonded couples because of STIs and STDs, but it's also actually inadvisable for men, period, because you can get a uterine tract infection, a UTI, from the bacteria present in the anus. And there are men who will tell you exactly what that feels like. Now, I know a lot of people have anal sex with no protection. However, this is a personal decision, and a lot of men, they want to feel the experience more, so they skip the condom. But, you know your risks, people, and absolutely, you shouldn't be having anal sex without a condom. Because of the STIs and STDs. So, assuming you're fluid bonded and all of that, if a man is having unprotected anal sex with a woman, his pre-cum would have to be quite copious to effectively lubricate the anus. And all men have different amounts of pre-cum, so there is no across-the-board thing that this is going to work. And then now let's talk about the spit, okay? All right, spit can be handy in the heat of the moment. I've been there and done that. Certainly not with anal, but can we please stop with the whole spitting on the parts you want to fuck thing that porn has portrayed as a way to do things? Personally, it kind of grosses me out to see someone drool spit on someone's ass, whether it's a woman or a man doing the spitting, and then fuck it. But beyond my own personal gross out, the viscosity of spit is insufficient for anal sex. Anal tissues are more delicate than vaginal walls. Minute tears can happen more easily. Lube is important. Every sex educator I know of recommends using lots of with anal sex. Sexual information websites that talk explicitly about sex and lubrication always recommend using lube for anal sex. These are some of the comments that I ran across on a thread in Reddit. A young woman wrote in and had her very first anal experience, and he didn't even use any lube. Now, she was an incredible anomaly. She had a wonderful time, and she wrote in to say how amazed she was that she had a wonderful time. So here's one of the comments. It probably had to do with you wanting it and not being tense. Tension is what causes the pain. All right, there is some truth to that, but dude, friction does too. You can be relaxed as you like. You can be as relaxed as anything, and if two body parts are rubbing together for a long time, you need lubrication or the friction will cause irritation, no matter how relaxed you are. Relaxation is important, but it facilitates opening. It does not magically provide lubrication. Here's another comment. The walls of the colon and rectum are naturally coated with mucus, which acts as a lubricant. For many people, this, combined with precum and saliva, is more than sufficient lubrication. The walls of the anus are not like the walls of the vagina. I took this guy to task for this comment and asked if he'd ever received anal with no lube. Although I must admit that pegging the precum would be absent, but anyway, he didn't respond to that question. He just went on to assert, he reworded it. I took exception to his word, many. I said maybe some, but certainly not many. So he goes on to rephrase it, and he says a large but indefinite number of people are able to engage in anal sex with no more lubrication than that provided by precum and saliva. Well, are able to? Sure. How about they might enjoy it a little more if lube was used? This obviously drives me crazy. Here's why. There is a sort of backwards domino effect that's happening here. I've talked and written about it before, but it bears repeating. When men have the idea that precum, saliva, and mucous membranes can be sufficient for fucking a woman in the ass, they try it. The fact is, the combination is insufficient for most women and probably less pleasurable for the ones it is sufficient for. So then what do you get? You get women who have unpleasant, bad, painful anal experiences, which many times will put women off anal for life, especially if it's their first time. So great, we have men giving bad anal experiences to women and women having a bad opinion about anal because of it. And we're not even talking about pace and foreplay, which are equally important and can just as easily ruin a woman's experience. But let's move from there to the subject of this sexual play we all love so much, pegging. Now picture the man approaching the woman for pegging. One of her first reactions may well be, "Why would you want me to do something to you that's that painful? Are you masochistic or something?" But you can see where she gets that idea from the bad anal sex she experienced. So this, in the pegging world, becomes one more misconception to overcome in a man's quest for pegging from his partner. So now I have all these guys who want pegging writing me and asking me how to convince their partners, who, if they do decide to give it a try, are so concerned about hurting their men that their first attempts at pegging are timid and tentative. Not that there's anything wrong with that, because we all start somewhere and learn as we go. But the point is, anal sex equals pain is a connection in their heads. So let's look at it from a pleasure perspective, because really when it comes down to it, I want all of you out there to experience as much pleasure as you can handle doing whatever you choose to do with your partner. So guys, if you guys are really wanting to fuck your girlfriend's or your wife's ass and she has decided to try it, wouldn't you do anything and everything you could possibly do to make that experience the most pleasurable you could for her, so that you can fuck that ass again and again? So do it the right way. Do it all the right way. Go very, very slow. Lots of foreplay. Stay in communication with her about how it's all feeling. And for fuck's sake, use lube. If you get into the ass fucking and down the line discover that you can actually do it with this bit pre-cum mixture and enjoy it, great. But starting off that way is a recipe for disaster. Pun intended, disaster. And why the hell would you try this bit pre-cum thing and hope it's sufficient? Because they do it in the porn movies? Wrong. It doesn't work in the porn movies. Anyone who's receiving anal in porn movies has been pre-lubricated and is taking muscle relaxers. The spit is just for show. And this assertion that I'm making right here was confirmed by an ex-porn star on a FetLife thread, by the way. So please, people, stop with the whole spit is enough thing and use some proper lube. Guys, learn to give a good anal and she will be more likely to understand why you might want to get fucked in the ass too. If you make it as pleasurable for her as possible, you have a good case to say, you know, I'd like to try that too. And on a personal note, the last time I had anal, I have to say, he was really good at giving it. It had been quite some time for me. And this man's equipment was a good size, so I wasn't sure it would happen. But he was so good at the foreplay and the pacing and the lube that it worked just fine, rather deliciously, actually. And if all women could have an anal experience like that, well, the world would be a better place. And, you know, he even stopped right about at the moment when I was thinking, maybe I've had enough. And he just kind of knew, and he stopped, and he said, I always like to stop leaving them wanting a little more, because that's the way you get anal sex again, is to leave them wanting it a little bit. You don't ever want to keep going and going and going until they're like, get the hell out of my ass. You know, yeah, this guy totally had it down. Now, does he enjoy pegging as well? Yes. So does he know what it feels like to have something in his ass and get fucked in the ass? Yes. There you go. Proves my case. Okay, I'm done with the rant. Thanks for listening, you guys. I really, really appreciate it. Okay, so last but not least, my NaNoWriMo challenge is still happening. National Novel Writing Month. I'm terribly and horribly behind. And I asked you all to send me a picture of your behinds because I am a little behind. I guess the pun was really horrible because I only got one picture. However, the picture I got was a very nice one. The sender told me he used it on dating sites with much success. And it's just from the waist down, and he's pulling his jeans down and exposing a total bubble butt. He's wearing a jock strap, and he's pulling the jeans down to show his ass. In fact, this reader was actually the one to enlighten me that jock straps are not the white, athletic, smelly, sweaty things I thought they were. They are freaking ass decoration is what they are now. He asked me about it, and I did an image search and I about jockstraps, and I got lost in all the pictures when I did that image search for jockstraps, because, wow, they're awesome. So the picture is very nice. Thank you so much for sending it. And as you can see on my stats, the inspiration from that picture was directly relatable to a jump of 3,000 words. But obviously I need a lot more pictures. Please don't make me beg. And be assured they will not be posted on the internet. They're all completely confidential. In the spirit of fine male asses, on my blog, I'm going to post a link to the Andrew Christian website. I think I've done it before, but if I haven't, I should have. The Andrew Christian website, they sell male underwear and jock straps, and they have videos and geez, they're practically X-rated. They're awesome. And all the guys are total hunks, and the asses are just phenomenal. So this is for my bisexual readers and the women who are my readers and any other straight males who are just sort of interested and want to shop for a little underwear, perhaps. Because it's practically porn, people. It rocks. I'll put that link on my blog. Okay. It's been fun. You can follow me on Twitter. At Ruby_Writer. I have a Facebook profile and a page. The profile is Ruby Writer and the page is Ruby Writer's Pagan Paradise. You can subscribe to my blog by clicking the button on the left-hand side of my homepage. And my podcast, which I'm sure you're aware by now, is accessible on iTunes as well as on my blog. The one thing that I'm not doing is telling you what the links are on my podcast, but I think if you're interested in the links, you can go to my blog, because I find it quite tedious when someone reads off an internet address to copy it down. That's so old school. So just go to my blog and all the links I'm talking about will be there. Thank you all for downloading and listening. And once again, and always, happy pegging, everyone. This is Ruby Writer. Have a good one.